Prologue. March 3, 1854. The loft where the children slept was packed with his younger siblings, but Magnus made room and crawled into the blankets beside his sons and tried not to worry. While his stepmother helped his wife, Emmanuel, labor, Magnus chased sleep. Preparation for spring planting and the usual chores around his father's farm wouldn't wait, so rest was a prized commodity. But the agonized groans and panting from below disconcerted the big Norwegian. This would be the fourth child born since he was compelled to marry the trapper's daughter 4 years earlier. And once again, the infant was arriving sooner than expected. Enamored with Emmanuel's ethereal beauty from the start, Magnus was easily enticed by the voluptuous figure, flaxen hair, and sky blue eyes. Despite the rugged lifestyle she'd lived, roaming the North Woods with her father, the young woman was a delightful companion and an unexpectedly sensual firestorm. But their rushed union had come with a devastating surprise just 6 months later. A fully formed baby boy born with raven hair, tawny skin, and the lusty wail of his native ancestors. One look at the newborn told the whole sordid tale, as did Emmanuel's refusal to answer his bewildered questions. Stunned by the duplicity of the woman he cherished, Magnus slammed out of the cabin in a rage. And when he returned that evening for dinner, Magnus was surprised when his father's comforting hand landed on his shoulder. "The boy did not survive," he gently advised, "and no one will be the wiser." Relief and confusion warred for dominance, but one thing was certain. Magnus could not grieve for another man's child, only his broken and betrayed heart. Refusing to recall any more about the situation that destroyed his trust in his traitorous wife, Magnus gently tucked the blankets tighter around the sons the conniving woman had borne him in the aftermath of her deceit. Gear and Gunner, the lights that gave substance to his miserable life. And when he heard the healthy wail of a newborn a short while later, Magnus didn't move from the pallet. No. That cry told him all he needed to know. The child wasn't an early arrival. The babe's cries disabused him of that notion. So, the question became, who did the infant belong to this time? Downstairs, Merrick Knutson took one look at the beautiful baby girl and felt tears well in her eyes.
"Why?" she gasped, turning accusing eyes on the tired mother. "Why would you do this? Again?"
Exhausted and sore, Emmanuel turned away and held the tiny bundle to her sweaty chest.
"You have your father's eyes," she gently whispered to the newborn.
Enraged by Emmanuel's tender observation and obvious lack of remorse for her actions, Merritt slammed from the room as she cupped her own swollen belly. Although Magnus and Zebedee were not her sons by birth, they were undoubtedly children of her heart. And to have either treated so callously?
"That woman!"
she screeched, filling the cabin with her ire. April 7th, 1854. At first light, Magnus saddled two horses and impatiently waited for Emmanuel to emerge from the small cabin.
"You mean to turn me out, then?"
the woman wailed as she was forcefully escorted from the Knutson home by her mother-in-law.
"Where will I go, Magnus?"
"Take the babe to her father and let the tribe take care of you," Merritt tersely suggested. "We've seen you through your lying in, and I'll have no more of your kind under my roof. My family will not be disgraced again before God and man." Shooing her children and grandchildren into the tiny dwelling they all shared, Merritt waddled back into the waiting warmth and firmly shut the door behind her. A smattering of snow and rain began to pelt the couple as they mounted, and Emmanuel wailed.
"My boys! You will take me from my boys?"
Refusing to further discuss the circumstances of his humiliation or the provisions of their separation, Magnus grabbed the stubborn woman's reins and led her mare behind his. The long trek across the prairie into Taylor's Falls and then onto St. Croix Falls took most of the day. And when Magnus left the woman he'd pledged to love, honor, and cherish at the stage stop that afternoon, he rode away without a backward glance.